Pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fans in the Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, talking all things football on a glorious autumnal afternoon. 4:11 on this Friday, just a beautiful, cloudless day. How you doing, Mr. McAllister?
All is well on this end, sir, and yourself?
I am fine. I did a show earlier today with Dave Cohen, who was sitting in for Newell, and I said, if you were ever curious about what it was it like in Irvine to this morning, about, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning was basically every day. Now, I got to 90 today.
Yeah, so you don't get to
count the afternoon.
No.
I'm saying this morning, for that time period, blue sky, cooler temperatures. That's how it was.
But it was only this morning. I mean, we're talking about a 7 to 9:15, 9:30 window.
Yep.
And after that, it was welcome back to New Orleans. I mean, it was welcome back to Louisiana with the humidity and just, you know, look, it's a lot better than what it could be,
right,
or what it has been, but it's still almost October, and we have 90-degree weather.
Yeah, I know. But a little front came through, and clearly, all of our thoughts and prayers and everybody along the Eastern Seaboard and Hurricane Helene, the littlest movement, right? It was going to be Tallahassee, but it jogs to the east, and it just brings so much more things into play, and so they're just cleaning up all up and down. There's not a lot to report from the Falcons situation, though.
No, not as far as the game, but, right, you know, the problem with the hurricane, even though it was moving fast, it's the rain.
Yeah.
It is the rain. It's the constant rain, and you're talking about, like, we get here in 1 hour, you've got 3, 4, 5 inches of rain, and some of those areas were already wet. And so it was nowhere for the rain to go. And, you know, I've seen plenty of pictures where you've got washaways and you've got, you know, urgent messages of some of the dams that are about to give away. And, man, it's I saw one report and, you know, obviously I think it was up to 20 people maybe that had lost their lives.
Oh, yeah, I think it's 30 now.
Yeah, amongst the states.
Exactly.
Amongst the states, and it's just because of flooding and, you know, just weather-related. Whether it was all flooding, you know, we don't really know. But it's a tough situation, and it's I don't think it's anything that's going to ease up within the next day or so. You know, some of those areas are going to continue to get heavy amounts of rain.
Right, and it's just such a different situation than what we have as – you know, we're surrounded by water, the river and the lake, and we pump things out. This area is creeks and rivers and mountains that flow down, and when they crest, it's different, right? There's nowhere for it to go but overflow its banks. And you're right. I was trying to literally find out information if there was any impact for this game, power and all that stuff. And if you go to the Georgia map, you just cut it in half, north to south, the east side of Georgia, virtually no power. From Atlanta, kind of Augusta, over to the west, you know, it's amazing how straight that line is up and down the state. So you're right. This was more of a rain and flood event and not power. Now, you said it obviously, because we did it for Dallas, it impacts your practice schedule, because yesterday the team had to go home and take care of their homes, and today was when the storm hit. So it does – there's some impact.
Yeah, there's some impact, but, I mean, you know, for us, I don't want to say you're veterans in it, but going back to Katrina, you're veterans.
Oh, no, yeah.
From an organizational standpoint, you're a veteran. I mean, and you kind of say, hey, look, you know, there will be some stuff that'll happen, and if we need to get somewhere where the team can get together or the team gets out of the area just so they can continue to practice. And as far as the Falcons, they probably adjusted their schedule. But outside of that, they still had to practice, or they tried to prepare as best as possible. And what was interesting is, you know, if I think that this had have sat over Atlanta a little longer, 2 days, now you may talk about, hey, let's possibly move this game back a day, or, you know, can we host this game in New Orleans, just because maybe from a emergency personnel standpoint, they had other things to be worried about.
Except for coming 60,000 fans coming downtown.
There you go. But I don't think that is going to be the case. I knew there was some flooding in certain parts of Atlanta, but the game will still be played at 1 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday.
No, I agree with you, and we're going to move on. It's weird for us because we're always – the impact, right? I'm like, we're never the team going to that other stadium. And I know people had asked earlier this week, you know, hey, they're going to flip this game. I said, you don't understand. You just don't flip a game, right? That call needs to be made kind of, you know, earlier.
It would have had been made probably Thursday, Friday right. night, no later.
Right.
I mean, and that's just because, hey, look, this is what the weather is telling us, and, you know, it's going to impact our ability to provide a safe facility for those fans right. and there people to get to the fans. And so that would have happened, you know, preliminary. But, you know, obviously we know that we're going to Atlanta tomorrow afternoon / midday.
Yep. All right. So, as we often do, we shall talk about the injury report for both teams. And I don't know where to begin. You want to begin with DeMario or Alvin?
You got one that's out and one that's 50%.
All right, let's talk about DeMario, because it's his record of playing 13 years. He's 35 years old. This is going to be the first game that he's missed because of an injury. He missed the game in 2021 because of COVID, the Miami game. But other than that, he's got the hamstring issue. Had a minor hamstring situation in training camp, but I mean, 197 games, and he inflicts a lot of pain. But man, that is a violent position he plays in, and to do 197, that's amazing.
It's truly amazing. I mean, it truly is amazing, and it tells you how he takes care of his body, how he prepares his body. You know, from a mental standpoint, I can guarantee you, over those 13 years, there were many of times. You probably question whether or not I wanted to do this or whether or not I could do it. And he's just always been able to do it. And it's finally a time that his body is not going to allow him to be able to go out there and do it. And it's unfortunate, but obviously some other guys are going to have to step up. Some other guys are going to have to play. And so, trust me, DeMario is deeply entrenched and trying to make sure those guys understand and know their assignment on what they have to do.
No, he has been more vocal, more coach-like, even in Irvine. You could see him just standing on the sidelines. Whenever he wasn't in, he was like another referee, another, you know, always chirping and, you know, helping everybody out. So Willie Gay kind of goes into that role?
I think the guy that Pete Warner, he picks up a lot more responsibility. But you've got a couple options, and, you know, it'll be interesting. Do they go with Orgy or do they go with Jackson, DeMarco Jackson? You know, and he's one that's been kind of banged up himself.
Right, he's hadn't played a ton.
Yeah, with the hamstring. And so it'll be interesting how they kind of handle that look as far as the three down linebackers are concerned. I wouldn't be surprised if they play a little bit more nickel, just because you probably feel a little bit better about your corner situation than you do maybe a linebacker or two going in. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go with maybe even a five-down look as far as linemen and say, hey, look, this is how we want to attack and try to stop the run in certain instances. You know, when you get 12 personnel or you get some of those looks. Here's the thing with Atlanta. Atlanta doesn't play with a fullback. Atlanta, they, you know, it's Algier, it's two tight ends and maybe a bigger offensive lineman when they come in. And so they've got a couple packages that the Saints, that they will use. But, you know, I'm interested to see if it's more base with Jackson and Orgy, or do you go, you know, kind of 11 personnel or even a big nickel type situation. And we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
All right, so we'll talk about Alvin's situation, then we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about the rest of the injury situation, offensive line, for both teams. So Alvin had the rib situation and also hip. Didn't practice on Wednesday, was limited on Thursday, limited today, and then questionable. And so just game-time decision for him?
You're hoping he continues to feel better. I mean, it's just the wear and tear on your body of, what, 29 touches. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then how does your body respond? How does your body feel? Making sure that he is fresh as possible. And that's really where you are with Alvin. I mean, and the other guys, you talk about Mims probably getting more reps, talking about Jamal getting more reps. That's really where you are.
Right.
I mean, and it's, you know,
you get Taysom back, but you got a chest injury you just throw in there and just, yeah, you know.
Well, you're going to probably throw him in there.
Yeah.
Just being honest. You're gonna have to throw him in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just being honest. And, Alvin's a critical part of what they want to do, but him healthy is, obviously a lot more important as well.
Yeah. Got to take a break. First off, Magazine Pizza. We want to thank them. They're at 1068 Magazine. You can dine in or deliver the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We want to thank them for feeding our broadcast team here at WWL. This is Fans of the Pro. Got to take a break here. Mike Austin, McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans of the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, and don't forget to join WWL for a special edition of the Newell Norman Show with Newell and Deuce McAllister live from Pelicans Media Day. That's Monday. We'll go live to Center Court for some up-close conversations with Pelicans leadership, Executive VP of Basketball David Griffin, GM Bryson Graham, and Head Coach Willie Green, plus some key players, Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and many more. If you love Pelicans basketball, don't miss Newell and Deuce at Pelicans Media Day, Monday, 10 to 1. On your home for Pelicans basketball, WWL. And I know that'll be fun. I know it's going to be fun for you because I know you're a big fan, and we're going to talk Pelicans, you know, a little bit later in the show, but that's going to be a big day.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because they leave basically that day and they open training camp, or at least I guess it's technically camp.
Yeah.
In Nashville. Yeah, in Nashville. And I think they're going to be at Belmont, if I remember correctly. I think they're at Belmont. And so it's always intriguing. I'm excited. WWL gets to broadcast the games this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, and man, if that group can stay healthy,
man,
they got a shot.
They got a shot. And Zion, we'll talk again. We'll talk more about it. But Zion said it is just straight vengeance, and I was like, wow, man, straight up vengeance. I was like,
He's got a little built up that he wants to unleash it. So I think we're all waiting.
Right.
You know, I think we're all excited and we're waiting. And so, it's gonna be a pretty good run. It's gonna be busy though for us.
Oh yes,
it's gonna be a pretty good run.
It will be. So back to the Saints and Falcons. We've talked about Alvin. We've talked about DeMario Davis. So new today was Chris Olave, hamstring questionable. He was limited today, but it happened, you know, during practice. So that's new. Let's talk about Olave first. I mean, coming off just a huge game, 6 catches, and he doesn't have the touchdown late. Man, he's just been, you know, everything.
Yeah, and he has been starting to get himself going. Didn't have the big numbers week one, but you know, the last 2 weeks he's starting to get a lot more involved, and you know, a lot of the throws that he and Derek have been connecting on, you know, I thought that there was a good chance, and obviously if he's able to go, there's a good chance that they can still kind of work it. And what's interesting is you're playing a very good back end defense, particularly the two safeties of Atlanta, and so you're gonna need Chris Olave, if he's able to go, to be at the top of his game, if not at close as possible at the top of his game. And that's one to monitor over the next couple of days. Hopefully it's something that he can, get to calm down as far as the hamstring is concerned.
So the kind of foundational injury story of the week has been the offensive line for both teams. Both teams, centers out, IR, Eric McCoy and Drew Dahlman for Atlanta. And then there was Cesar Ruiz with the knee injury. He didn't practice. He is out. And Atlanta's tackle, Caleb McGarry, same MCL, he is out as well. So two offensive linemen of your starting five, both out in both offenses, who kind of run this wide zone, you know, I don't like to say similar, but, you know, similar foundational styles. So let's just talk about, so last week, Lucas Patrick moved from left guard to center. They pulled up Shane Lemieux, who did a lot of, you know, took a ton of snaps at camp, to the active, signed Chris Reed. So the question is, do you keep Patrick at left guard, Lemieux at center, Ali Udoh at right guard, where you're kind of impacting two positions, or do you put Patrick back at center? That's what he did on Sunday.
Well, you got left guard now thrown in since Caesar isn't available as well. No, I'm just saying from the game, because Caesar was able to play the complete game.
Right.
So the question becomes, and this is going to be one for the Saints coaches, how many positions do we want to affect?
Right.
I know what you were saying.
Yeah.
But it's how many positions do we want to affect?
If you keep Patrick at left guard, put Lemieux at center, now you've impacted two. If you put Lucas Patrick at center and somebody else at left guard and somebody at right guard, now you're impacting three.
Correct.
So you –
How can you limit it? That's Mike. They don't pay me and you. They don't pay me and you enough to figure that
right.
figure that out.
So my thought would be Shane Lemieux. He's a veteran. Because you've had a week. It's different than when it's third play of the game.
Correct. You know? Correct. No, yeah. I agree with the line of thinking 100%. Because if I can practice with him at that position, then now I feel a lot more comfortable. He's able to hear the calls. He's studying it. He understands it. He and Derek are on the same page, you know, going through it. Obviously, Lucas Patrick is there. He's hearing the calls. He's probably getting the same reps. And, you know, my biggest thing is how can I impact the least amount of positions?
Right.
How can I impact the least amount of positions? And so whether it's Udo, whether it's Landon Young, here's what's interesting as well. When you look at the injury report, Landon Young, when you go back a week ago, he didn't practice at all.
Right.
This week he's able to practice. So whether he's at left guard, whether he's at right guard, he's going to be in the mix. He's going to be in the mix. And then obviously Udo is going to be in the mix as well, you know, just depending on what you do with that center position to the other guard position. And so it's just trying to find the best combination of where they feel the most comfortable as far as system of what they want to do. And I will – here's one thing when I look at the offenses. They're very similar, very similar. Atlanta likes to cut block a little bit more than New Orleans does, than the Saints do. And basically what that is, you know, getting up on the linebackers and throwing their bodies into the legs of the linebackers. That's basically what Atlanta likes to do. It's not illegal. And then even on the backside, the Saints will cut some, but they don't do it a ton. That's what Atlanta's going to do. Atlanta's going to cut you down on the backside and cut those linebackers.
So watching the Monday night game, and this is what the broadcasters were talking about, just because it was so evident. This is after Dahlman and McGarry went out. Then, you know, they weren't able to kind of dictate what they wanted to do running the football with the zone. So you saw more and more of Cousins in the shotgun, and it's not really what they really want to do. And you're not really playing to his strength with that offense, but that's, you lose two offensive linemen. Guess what? We've been there. We know exactly what you have to do. So I guess where I was going was that with Cousins, man, just kind of like Dak a little bit, just hit him, right? Just get in his face, muddy the pocket.
Well, I mean, he's not as mobile as Dak.
Right.
He's coming off an Achilles injury. And so not having your center and not having your right tackle, how can I affect the quarterback? And that was even before. If it was the starters
same
out
thing,
there.
Right. Dahlman
the
and McGarry.
Yeah, if the starters were out there, it was still going to be how can I affect the quarterback? Because he's coming off an Achilles injury. So he's not going to be the most mobile guy. Now here's the problem that comes in. This is year what? 13, 14?
Yep, 13.
13 for Kirk. He's seen every look.
Right.
This is not his first time playing against you either. So he's seen every look. So you're not going to trick him too many times. Now, you'll be able to get him with some looks, you know, particularly with some zone blitz stuff. But you're not going to get him with, hey, I'm bluffing on this side. You know, I'm showing you one thing and we're going to do something else. You may be able to get him on some zone blitz looks like that. But if I'm running zero, I'm running zero. And I'm coming after you. I got one more than you've got. You've got to get the ball out of your hands. Now I'm basically telling my guys on the back end, you got to cover. You got to cover. You've got to do a good job of covering. And if the ball gets off, you've got to tackle. We can't have third and whatever on three different occasions and miss the tackles. I mean, we were in position. It's one thing if you aren't in a position, but we were in position. And we didn't come up with those tackles. That cannot happen. That cannot happen.
So, from a skill position, Bijan Robinson, of course, you know, 48 carries, 196 yards, also 11 receptions. Drake London, a touchdown in each of his last two games. Kyle Pitts, you know, you can't compare tight end week three to, oh, all of a sudden, tight end in week four. But ironically, the guy who has been the most damaging?
Mooney.
Darnell Mooney.
Speed.
They of their top 10 explosive plays, he has five of them.
Yep.
Five. Drake has one and Pitts has one. He's got five.
Yeah, it's his speed because all of the attention goes to the other guys. You know that they're going to draw all of the attention. And Mooney just, okay, you're going to put your third best on me? I can beat your third best, and normally he's going to do it. And so I like the matchup for the Saints, you know, particularly on the back end. That's where you feel like that you're the best. I think that you have to be physical with Kyle Pitts. You know, I think that I don't know if he likes to play physical. And then with Bijan Robinson, man, I got to hit him. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I am trying to isolate the Saints linebackers and or safeties with Bijan Robinson. And so for me, I've got to hit him. I've got to be physical with Pitts. And then with the other receivers, you know, I like the matchups. I like the matchups for the Saints. And you talk about Drake, a big receiver that wants to be physical. That wants to be physical. You know, I think that fits in what we want to do. And then Mooney, you know, he's a fast, quicker guy. We've played against him. You got to understand what he likes to do. You know, he's a guy that can take the top off of your defense, but as well, he can do some things underneath. You can't just think that, oh, man, this guy's a throw-in guy. He can play.
Would you do with Drake London maybe what we talked about with Dallas? And I know Marshawn ended up not playing. Marshawn and Drake, just stay on him?
Yes and no. I'm okay with Paulson Adebo matched up against Drake London because I think that fits Paulson's profile with being physical with the receiver. I'm okay. I mean, you don't have to travel. Marshawn doesn't have to travel with Drake London, you know, and so I'm okay with either of our corners being in that matchup. Now, it may be a certain situation I have him travel, but for the whole game, for me, I don't have to travel Lattimore with Drake London.
Philadelphia with Vic Fangio and that defensive front now, you know, Dennis Allen said, well, you know, it's a copycat league and we can expect to see
that. You're going to see it.
Yeah.
You're going to see it.
Six in the box for the most part.
Five and one. Yeah, it's not just six in the box. It's six on the line of scrimmage.
Right.
It's not just six in the box. I mean, because there's a half a safety, and then there's a Mike linebacker that's in the box. But it's six guys on the line of scrimmage. And I think the Saints will have a lot better answer this week to that look. I mean, because it starts with cutting the defense in half. You can't approach it to where each guy – In essence, yes, each guy has to be able to get his block, but you have to look at it as we're going to cut this defense in half.
All right, vertically?
Vertical, yes.
Left or right? You're picking on a side at that point.
You pick on a side.
Right.
You pick on a side. The other thing that I think against these two defensive tackles, David Onyemata and Grady, I think that you can run some power and some counter at these two guys. And what I mean by that, you can double team these two defensive tackles. That was a problem,
yeah.
Particularly last week, you know, with Jordan Davis and as active as Carter was. Now, you know, Davis is a strong, still he's strong young man. He may be a little older, but he's still strong, and Grady's still a really, really good player as well. But I like some of those matchups when you talk about some duos and some powers inside running. But also for me, you've got to cut the defense in half. I mean, if my center is there, I'm cutting it. If I'm running right, I'm cutting it from center or left guard over my backside tackle. Hey, look, you. There'll be two to one on the backside, but I'm not necessarily worried about blocking those guys like I would in some instances.
Got to take a break. Be back with more Fans in the Pro after this. Always call us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Fans in the Pro until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it's the Brian Kelly Show for LSU getting ready tomorrow, taking on South Alabama in Death Valley. Coverage begins at 2 o'clock. Mike Dettillier and former LSU Tiger Herb Tyler for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show live from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, presented by MAP Construction. It's always a great time. Acme has 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials, plus life's more fun with seafood. Catch LSU's pregame, 4:45 kickoff from Chris Blair with Jacob Hester at 6:45. Tigers and the Jaguars tomorrow on WWL and always on the free Odyssey app. So it's LSU 14th against South Alabama. South Alabama, I had to do a double take because they're 2-2. They lost their first two games. And I was just reading the article and it said, and they've scored 135 points in their last two games. And I went, well, wait a minute. They beat Northwestern State 87-0. I don't, I'm at some point now, It's okay when James Madison puts 70 on North Carolina. That's different. But 87, you're near 90 points. I mean, that's, and you know, God bless Northwestern State, but that thing got out of hand.
Did it get kids hurt? No, that's the part. You're going to get kids hurt. Right. Hopefully it was a running clock, but I mean, there's that's tough.
I can't even, I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Not many like that.
Right. And then they had beaten, you know, App State 48-12 a week before that. So they're 2-2. And then LSU has a bye week. And then October 12th, Ole Miss comes to town. That'll be a big one, man. Both teams, 6 versus 14, as they stand, as their rankings
today,
stand right now.
Today.
Right.
You know, and obviously both of them have to play a game. Ole Miss has Kentucky tomorrow, and then they have to go on the road to South Carolina, and then you come to Baton Rouge. And so I think that's Ole Miss's – well, I know it's Ole Miss's first SEC Yeah, well, no, their first SEC game. Well, everything else has been non-conference.
Right. So do they play Kentucky this week?
They play Kentucky.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So LSU will be the second. Right. Will be the first. Yeah, you're right.
No,
seems late, doesn't it?
Yeah, this weekend will be their first, and then next weekend they go to South Carolina. So when they play LSU, it'll be their third conference game.
LSU's open. They're not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so, no, that'll be Ole Miss's first SEC game.
So a couple of – I saw something on X that – so it's an interesting kind of storyline. So Major Burns – for LSU, his mom was pregnant when she and his dad went to Texas A&M versus Texas, and there were all these chants for Major Applewhite just kind of stuck with her. So they named their son Major Burns, and now Major will take on South Alabama head coach Major Applewhite, which made me feel very old, by the way. That is, wow, Major Applewhite? Yeah, he's a head coach?
He's a head coach.
Yeah.
He's a head coach. He had been offensive coordinator a couple times, and now he gets the opportunity to run his own program.
And he was at Catholic High School in Baton Rouge, so, you know, it's a homecoming for him as well. But that's pretty cool. I mean, you know. So we'll see. 6:45 tomorrow. Tulane is at home against South Florida, against the Bulls, both 2-2 as they begin conference play. And here's another team. You know, when I was kind of initially watching Hurricane Helene, I was not thinking so much about the west coast of Florida, Tampa, and all those places, but as it jogged east, they got hammered. South Florida has been off since Wednesday. So you talk about, you know, kids in class and practice and the games at 11 o'clock in the morning tomorrow at Tulane. So it's just it's tough up and down for a lot of places.
Yeah, and I think really for them, though, since they've been out of class, you've gotten to focus really on football. You know, and you want to obviously make sure that you're safe as well. And you know, they got a lot of rain, but you question, hey, how much actual practice did they get? And if it's any, it's probably been walkthroughs just because of the rain.
So that's college action coming up. And, of course, the Saints in Atlanta. It's almost perfect if you think about it. They've played 110 times. You know what the record is?
Right down the middle. It depends. Depends on which organization you ask.
That's true.
Depends on what which
organization. I'm going with the Saints.
Okay.
That's where I got the information.
Well, the Saints are up one.
Right. If you look at the Saints, 56-55.
Correct.
And if you look kind of just generically, or Atlanta, 55-55.
Correct.
110 times. That is, to me, the greatest definition of this rivalry. They can't even agree on the record.
That tells you, I mean, it sounds about right. And we're not talking about, oh, this is something that just happened in the last 10. No, it's been that way for years, where the agreeance, they were not in agreeance of, hey, this team won that game, or, you know, that should have been a forfeited game, or you quit, et cetera. So who knows?
Well, so Atlanta comes into the league as the expansion team in 66. The mm-hmm. Saints come in 67. So immediately, you know, they've got this kind of rivalry. And I don't know what it means to the new, younger players. I mean, certainly Dennis Allen, his dad played for Atlanta. He knows all about this rivalry. But I don't know how, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry feels about the Atlanta rivalry. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you have to kind of tell these new kids that, look, we hate this team.
We don't like them. We don't like them.
Yeah, but why? Don't worry about it. We don't like them. You just go hit them.
That,
right?
That's Auburn over there, Kool-Aid. That's right. What I want
there you
to
go.
Think.
Find out whoever their biggest rival is and say, that's Auburn, man.
And so I think that he's gotten a fairly quick appreciation for it. just from the fans, because it's just like, hey, we don't like that those guys over there. What do you mean? I like going to Atlanta. That's all it better be. You just better like
just
going
for the
to Atlanta.
SEC championship.
Yeah, outside of that, we don't like Atlanta. And so, you know, the egging of the bus, the egging of the plane. I mean, there's been all kinds of stuff.
So, this is – hey, Charlie, do we have one more break? Sorry about that. So – well, let's do this. Let's take the break. We'll come back, and we'll kind of wrap up this hour. We will be talking with Dave Archer, former Atlanta quarterback, in the 5 o'clock hour at 520. But we'll take a break. Come back. Deuce McAllister, Mike Hoss, Fans of the Pro, WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. As we get you to the 5 o'clock news hour, Saints and Falcons. And we're not going to have a lot of time, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. Just one question for you, Deuce. Is there any victory formation hangover for this Atlanta team? Arthur Smith's gone, Jamal Williams, Jameis Winston's gone. Do they care?
Some will. I mean, if you need that for motivation, then knock yourself out. Some will care, but you have a new head coach. You know, obviously you still have the same general manager, a lot of the same players. So, I mean, some will use it, but oh well.
Raheem Morris has said he will not, you know. But again,
that's what he
said. You're talking about players, right?
That's what's
he supposed
says.
To say?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Yeah. We're talking about that every day.
Yeah, that's what he's supposed to play. I mean, say, but if it's me, it's been on loop all week. In Atlanta, I just want you to see it. I want your blood boiling.
All right, back after this news. It's got about Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. Again, 520, we'll have David Archer, former NFL quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, now their radio color analyst. Again, Fans in the Pro till 6 o'clock till the Brian Kelly Show. The news is next. Well, welcome back, everyone, to Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it's time for the Brian Kelly Show. Getting ready for LSU South Alabama tomorrow. Then at 7 o'clock, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. And a great evening for high school football. At 5:20 this hour, we will speak with David Archer, former NFL quarterback and Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst. That's at 5:20. The Falcons and Saints, noon Central Time, 1 o'clock Eastern Time on Sunday. The Falcons will be in their throwback uniforms, their red helmets, black jerseys, kind of the off-white pants. So I guess the Saints will be in white, right? Saints will be maybe all white? I don't know. I guess they have to. What are they wearing? That's what I don't know.
Mike. It's so much other stuff that we get to worry about. I'm definitely not worried about a uniform. And some people are. And I do apologize. But, man.
it's the Saints actually usually put it out. I just haven't paid attention.
They may have posted it. They may have posted the uniform reveal. Right. And, you know, I am of the thought frame now. Don't get me wrong. You look good. You play good. But what they wearing on Sunday has not crossed my mind one bit.
Well, I get to wear whatever I want because they lost on Sunday.
Yeah, my routine.
My routine has been. I can wear different socks. I can wear different things, and so I'm. You know, I'm not superstitious, but I sure as hell act like it.
I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah,
and I didn't wear the same thing. I was going with something different, but a lot of the things that I do throughout the week, even certain days, certain times, you kind of try to continue to do those, and they did lose. I did go about my normal work week as far as things that I did or do. Now I'll try to tweak it just a little bit to see if that helps to make sure that they win on Sunday.
Right, we're doing all we can do, right?
Correct.
So as we talked about earlier, don't forget Monday is that special edition of the Newell Norman Show. 10-1 as we kind of introduce the Pelicans basketball team. They'll be in Nashville for their training camp and, you know, all their games right here, Pelicans basketball, WWL, and Zion Williamson, he has a quote, "I'm out for straight vengeance this season." He started in 70 games. That was a career high for the forward. He also set new career highs in blocks, assists, tying a career high, steals per game. And I'm glad that my weight is not such a topic of a daily occurrence, but he's down about 270 in the article that I'm reading. After being listed at 284, he's been doing like these five drills a day in Little Elm, Texas to get ready. And so, man, you love what you hear, you love what you see, and you love for him to be able to just 70 games. That's the key right there.
Well, I mean, even if he can get more than 70, I mean, right. it's even better. And so, you're looking for this team to take that next step. We thought we were close last year to taking that next step. not quite, didn't quite happen. You were able to make a trade. You pick up Murray from Atlanta, so that you did lose some key pieces as far as depth is concerned, but you've got enough star power and frontline guys that can get the job done. Now, the question obviously becomes, what do you do at center? Is it going to be a bunch of small ball, or will you be able to spread it out and, you know, use some of the guys that you have for stretches of 20 minutes, 30 minutes at that traditional center look or position, and then you decide to go small? But if this team can take that next step and get itself out of that play-in world where you're in the first, you win the first round, now you go to the second round, and with the new addition, obviously with us being able to broadcast the games, you're talking about in the daytime alone, it's what, 5 states?
Yeah, well, yeah. And 50,000 watts.
Yeah, and then at night it goes to what, 30 plus states? And so now fans across the United States will get to hear, the Pelicans, and then with the deal, we'll give some love to Fox 8 and Gray being able to broadcast those games to the, and I won't call it the local market.
It's more of a regional kind of.
It's a region. Yeah. I mean, and so the eyes and the ears, and there's still a pretty good following already for the Pelicans, but just from our local region of seeing, you're going to almost, quadruple that. And it's really higher than that. I mean, because from a listening standpoint, people from all over can hear it. Now, from a seeing it standpoint, I mean, you're going up into like Alexandria, you're going up into Jackson. I mean, and it's one thing to say, oh yeah, that was a national game. No, this is every game,
right?
You know, and so I think to grow the brand, the only thing left is to win.
What about? I've never seen a situation with, or maybe I have. I shouldn't say that. Brandon Ingram. Like, it's not, it's like this, it is a daily.
It's there.
Just throw that name out with any team, any three team, whatever you want to do.
No, it's there. And they're going to try to handle it in the most professional way. I put it like that. It's there. And it's been there for a while, and I don't know if it's going to get solved by Monday. I don't know if it'll get solved by next week. But you know it's there. I don't think Brandon or the organization will allow it to tear down what they're trying to do.
Looking forward to it. Open the season, regular season, October 23rd against Chicago. They have 4 preseason games, and then home on Chicago, 7 o'clock on October 23rd. Got to take a break. We'll get you back to the Saints and the Falcons, the big matchup on Sunday. David Archer, the former NFL quarterback, Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst, will join us. Take a break here on Fans of the Pro, right here on WWLAMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans of the Pro. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister. We are now joined by Dave Archer, former NFL quarterback and Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst. Dave, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike and Deuce.
Mike, Deuce, good to be with you guys. Yeah, it's the Saints-Falcons week is unbelievable. As you guys and Deuce and I both had a chance to play in this series, and it's a big-time operation, no question.
So, Dave, before we get too deep into the football aspect, I'm not sure where you live full-time. If you're in Atlanta, I know you were born in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I guess just from a Hurricane Helene standpoint, what that a region is like and kind of what everybody's going through. It feels like football takes a back seat as it well should.
Yeah, it's been interesting, Mike, in that obviously the storm came up through the panhandle of Florida and kind of went straight through Atlanta, through Georgia, up through Atlanta, and it kind of swept through the northeast side of the city. I mean, there's nobody that knows more about and what hurricane can do than certainly New Orleans does, and certainly we've got a little bit of the brunt of it, but it was diminished significantly coming through, and we had 40 mile an hour winds, but nothing that would compare to what the people in New Orleans had to endure. So we were fortunate. I mean, there's some areas that got hit pretty hard, but nothing to the level, I think, that what we saw way back into, what, 2006 or whatever, when New Orleans got hit. So we're fortunate. I know there's some people that are they're struggling a little bit, but we're trying to, you know, surge forward.
That's good to hear. I appreciate that, and we appreciate the update. There's a lot of huge rivalries in this game, but when it comes to storms, you know, we're all in that together. So thanks.
Yeah, Dave, and I guess, you know, when you talk about from a preparation standpoint, did the Falcons have to change any of their preparation, even moving a meeting back or up, or, you know, from a player standpoint, hey, you know, you guys have to take care of everything at home, or was that never even an issue?
Yeah, I don't think, Deuce, the things that were affected significantly here, they have an indoor facility, so they were able to practice inside. I think they were on premises from what I understand, and based on what I experienced, having been out there a few times, that I don't think they were affected by their preparation to a certain extent. So I think that they were able to dial in and get ready for this game, no question.
Yeah, and so leading and talking about this game, you know, just tell us how the team feels about what they've done the first couple of weeks in the season, and then, you know, just we'll get into the details as far as this upcoming matchup with the Saints, but, you know, just the excitement, hey, we've got to play better, you know, different things like that, and, you know, just some of the additions that they've been able to add.
Well, they're concerned certainly about what New Orleans brings to the table, the explosiveness that New Orleans can provide from an offensive standpoint, certainly with Alvin Kamara and sort of Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave, and what they can do offensively, and the hard-hitting defense. I mean, I don't know that I've seen Deuce a physical game as early on in the season as I saw from Philly and New Orleans in that weekend, that game last weekend. I thought both teams played extremely physically. Obviously, they didn't come out on the New Orleans side of things, but I thought both teams got after each other physically. And Atlanta's going to have to match the physicality that New Orleans brings to the table. And I think they're concerned about that. There's some adjustments they're going to have to make along their offensive line with some guys that are a little bit banged up. And with Carl Granderson and what he's been able to do, and what Brian Brzee and what he's been able to do. Of course, you got the venerable one and Cam Hayward. So I think that there's some concern as to what they can do along the offensive line with some of the injuries they have along the offensive line. So, I mean, this is going to be a classic, you know, Falcons-Saints battle. You know, there's always been guys banged up. Deuce, you played in a lot of these games where guys are banged up and the next guy has to step up. And Atlanta, this is one of the more important games Atlanta's had. I think early on in the season, when you talk about losing two games at home, they lost two games in their own building. So, you know, New Orleans coming in this weekend, and of course the Tampa Bay Bucs coming on Thursday night. Really big sequence for Atlanta to try to keep pace with what's going on in the North, when the NFC South, to be able to handle what's going on in these two games at home.
I was curious. They lose week one, and then, you know, kind of a tough one. Pittsburgh comes in, and that was tough, I'm sure, to swallow. And I'm wondering just kind of if you think of that game-winning drive for Kirk Cousins, right? They beat Philadelphia in a game that analytically should have lost. But how that changed the narrative. I mean, if they're 0-3 right now, like, I got to feel like their Falcons fans are ready to unload on Kirk Cousins. But that one drive just changed everything, or did it? I don't know where Falcons fans are. It was a gritty performance against Kansas City, but you still lost, right? I mean, so I just didn't know, where's their head?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and you know, you look at the three games that they've lost, or two games they lost and one game they've won. You probably look at the fact that you could probably be 3-0, you could be 0-3, and I don't think there's any question about that. So I think that you got to kind of push that in the rearview mirror, and you got three divisional games coming up. Yeah, New Orleans, obviously, this weekend. You got Tampa on Thursday night, and you got the following weekend over a 10-day period, you got Carolina coming in. or you got to go to Carolina. So you got three divisional games that have a tremendous amount of impact on what you look at, what you look like, and how you feel about yourself. So, regardless of how the first three games went, certainly a good win in Philly, not one you counted on. But a Kansas City loss that you feel good about, but you lost. So, I mean, this New Orleans game, I think you slide all the first three games out of the way and you start thinking about these three games coming up. And I think this is probably as good, as important a game as Atlanta's had in the first four games of the season than I can remember. I mean, I've been doing the games for 20 years. I can't remember a game that's as important as the New Orleans game coming up this weekend.
Well, we are looking forward to it ourselves. You know, these teams, very big rivals, bitterly matched, and, you know, the record, if you look at the 110 games, however you want to look at it. So I'm hope that everything can get back on their feet there in Georgia. We appreciate your time, Dave Archer, and we will see you on Sunday in Atlanta.
Always good to talk to you guys, man. Deuce and I have played in a bunch of these games, and there's never a time when they don't mean important. There's some important stats to them. So I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Dave.
Take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister back after this. WWL AM/FM, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it'll be the Brian Kelly Show. Then, of course, the 7 o'clock staple in the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. We want to thank Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We thank them for feeding our Saints broadcast team. Go to the Oakland Heart Talking text line, and James has been patiently waiting. James, you're a Friday staple for us, and you always have a lot to say. So what do you got for us pre-Atlanta?
So thanks for, I guess, the salute there. But
yeah, that was a salute. I wasn't being, you know. Yeah. We appreciate it. You've been patient.
I mean, I know you could be a little bit on the other side of that, but either way, listen, the Chiefs have been, or rather Atlanta, averaged 22% on third down, and they want to fix that. The best way they want to do that, I would imagine, would be running the ball to number seven, the other number seven. I really want to talk about these dagger concepts. I guess that don't really matter right now. But, you know, Deuce said something earlier about us wanting to go up the middle. Well, they want to go up the middle as well. You know, we got Landon Young in there starting that guard. And truth be told, I never said this on this particular with the two of you, but I've never thought Landon Young, when I saw him at practice, was a left tackle or a right tackle. I thought his best position would be guard inside because he keeps getting beat inside. So I'm glad he's going to play guard. I just didn't want him to play guard in the biggest game, you know, of the season for most of the fans right now.
Well, that's not a formality that Landon's going to be at your guard. He's one of your options, and Landon actually had never played guard. He's always been a tackle.
Yeah, I get that, but he's a real. I mean, I could beat him going outside. So he's better. He's better at guard.
James.
Yeah.
You're being facetious, right? You can't. Be
I am, but I'm saying he stinks at tackle. You know, for the kind of tackle I want a guy with dancing feet at left tackle.
How many of those are truly in the NFL, though? Honestly.
Okay, so you know.
No. How many are truly a dancing left tackle with feet like that? How many do you truly think are in the NFL?
Less than 10.
I would probably agree with
you.
Everybody can't do that, though. That's what I'm saying. Everybody can't do it.
But you can't force a hole. What is it? A round hole in a square peg. You can't always do that. So you know, you're damaging the quarterback. But anyways, here's my speech. Boxing is my favorite sport. Right? It's my favorite sport. Outside of watching the Saints play, And this game is a boxing match. I mean, we could forget about – we could talk about our intricacies, stopping the dagger round. By the way, I would rather see Kool-Aid play Howden's position. But the bottom line is this is going to be a fight. Who's got the most heart? This is going to be a fight. Derrick's got to show toughness. Like, he's 10 years in and threw that ball at the end of the game. Come on, man. And I think I honestly think we could win this, but it's got to be about heart. It's got to be about heart. They're going to want to pound AK just like Deion Jones. I mean, we could go on and on about some of the things you know that's going on in the Atlanta games. But they're going to want to pile on him. And Taysom is what 10-4, 12-4 when he plays Atlanta. I mean, this is a Taysom game. If it weren't for him, I think we could have beat the Eagles. If it weren't for him not playing, I should say that. I think we could have beat the Eagles. But what's your feeling on Houghton? Because I think he's a screw-up right now. And I'd rather see the best guys in our secondary. And one of the best guys out there is the rookie. I think he's better, you know. I think at the end of the day, I think he's going to be a better safety than he will be a corner. But, yeah, I get it. You want to play him at corner. But right now, I'd rather see him take Houghton snaps. What's your thoughts on that?
Mr. James, I appreciate you. And, you know, it's always good for you for us to hear from you and talk to you and get your thoughts on it. You know, I do agree with you. There are not a lot of guys that can go out there and they have the feet to play the left tackle position. I mean, you have a lot of good ones, but to say that you want a guy that can go out there and dance, man, it just doesn't happen. And so, you know, this will be a physical matchup. You know, this will be a physical matchup for both teams. And I think, you know, for the Saints, you've been in those situations. And I hadn't watched Atlanta live to say, oh, yeah, they can match the intensity. I know that they've got some guys over there that can do it, but it's going to be a situation where they're going to have to go out there and show it. So from that standpoint, we'll kind of see what happens. And with the throw, Derrick knows it. I mean, he even spoke about it after the game. That's a situation where I get rid of the ball. I don't, you know, try to make that play in that situation because you still have a timeout. You still have time on the clock. And, you know, I just can't trust a guy in that situation, particularly with the traffic in the middle of the field. And so, you know, that's one where he wish he has it back. And the situation with Howden, I think that Howden just, you know, you've got to make a better angle. You've got to make a play and understand the situation, understand what you're seeing. I'm not comfortable yet as far as putting all of that on Kool-Aid for him to be able to play the slot, to play outside, and now he's going to move to safety. It's one thing to say, oh, yeah, he can do it. Yeah, he's a talented enough player to do it, but are you really helping him short or long term? And I think Howden is probably your best answer at that safety position, particularly with some of the things that you want to do. You know, and now if we're talking 3 years down the line, that may be a little bit different. But, I mean, Kool-Aid, what is this, game four?
Right. He didn't take any defensive snaps last week. He took four special team snaps.
Well, no, but I'm just saying for NFL, you're rookie. Game four.
Right.
You know, game four for him. And so to say, oh, I'm going to switch positions, which you can handle it, you know, man, that's not fair to that young man. And so we'll see what they do. We'll see what they change up. They're going to have some injuries on the back end, you know, particularly with DeMario. And you got some other guys that have been dealing with some stuff, not necessarily on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, Tyron's dealt with the heel. But, you know, we'll kind of see what they do and how they try to use some of those guys offensively. And Taysom's got to come up big. Taysom's got to come up big for you. He's got to have the opportunities as well, though.
And situational football. I mean, James started this, and he was right.
Well, Atlanta's been horrible on third down.
Right. 6 of 27, 22%, 29th in the league, 3 of 6 on fourth down. But red zone, again, 4 of 9, 22%. I mean, when you kind of struggle on third down, you're probably struggling in the red zone.
Well, and here's the other thing. It's not just third and short.
No.
It's been third and medium. It's been third and long that they've struggled on third down. And when you look at some of the things that they're saying, they're just saying, hey, we're not on the same page or we have to execute a little bit better. But it's not just third one and two or third and three and below. They're struggled in all phases as far as third downs. And so for the Saints, they've got to get them in third and medium, third and long. You've got to win on first down, really, if you're the Saints, to be able to get them to those third down situations where they just feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Right, as Hughes was saying. So Atlanta on third and one and two, third and short, they're 0 of 3. On third and medium, 3 to 5 yards, they're 3 of 10. On third and 6 to 10 yards, they're 3 of 8. And on third and long, plus 10, 0 for 6.
Yep.
And where Cousins in Atlanta have been fairly strong has been first down. You got to win that first down battle. You didn't, offensively or defensively last week, didn't do – that was not your strength.
Yeah, I think in the trenches, the Saints, they lost out. Now, they do get Colin Sanders.
Yeah. Full practice.
Yeah, well, you get him back, so yep. He should make his debut, and he should help your run defense tremendously. Now, you have to watch it as far as snaps, just because he is coming back off of that calf yeah. injury.
A lot of calf injuries.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he should help the run defense, and hopefully helps with some of that push inside as well.
Take a quick break. Come back, get some final thoughts as we work our way to the Brian Kelly Show at 6 o'clock. Thanks for calling, James. Back after this, this is Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight, and we are not going to spend a lot of time on this subject because I know he does not want to. Deuce McAllister, can you give me some stock picks, man? Can you give me something? Because you just feel it, right? Sometimes you just feel it. You predict things before they're going to happen. So
the market is closed. The market is closed. So we have zero stock picks.
And so the here's the question:
the S&P 500 it is up though. So.
Would you prefer Nostradamus or Deustradamus? There are nicknames for you floating out there, and I said I'm going to ask Deuce today, and he won't want to talk about it because he's too humble.
I prefer a W. That's what I want to talk about. I prefer a W. It's luck. That's what we'll go with. It's luck.
Well, the Shahid was. I mean, okay. I you're a football guy. You see things I do not see. Now the turnover. I'm like, well, yeah, they're kind of getting after him, but I don't know that I could see that. Well, 30 seconds later on the very next play. I mean, it was just that's a little freaky. That's where you got me.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes you just lock in and you lock just into the game and you just feel it, and it's just like, man, I can see some stuff, or you see some you see it happening. I mean, and it's like we watch the kickers before the games.
Yeah.
And most people are like, oh, the kicker's just kicking. What do you mean? Right. No, I want to see how far he's kicking. You know, if we're in a stadium, San Francisco, which way is the wind blowing? I mean, because for us, even for a coach, somebody better be watching it. Somebody better be watching it. I mean, because all the things that happen before a game, they're not just happening to happen. Sometimes you may pick up just one thing. And as much film as these guys watch and look at, a lot of times the players will tell you kind of what they're going to do. You just got to see it. They're not working on – this guy's not working on week 7 and he's getting ready to play week 3. He is working on something that potentially to be able to use. And I truly believe, going back, that Elliott hits that kick if the ball is in the middle of the field.
Right. Now, that's where I was going, because people don't – you're watching Jake Elliott before the game. Now, we're in a dome stadium. It probably shouldn't matter which direction you're going, but he was decidedly different going in one direction, and it was decidedly different going from the middle of the field versus hash marks.
The middle of the field, Mike, we saw him back up. He hit a 60-yarder, but guess where the ball was? In the middle of the field. He backed up to 65, and he kicked it twice in the middle of the field. When he put that ball on that right hash at 60, guess what it did?
Drifted off to the right.
It drifted off to the right. And then you go into the game.
Right.
Guess what it does?
Yep.
it was no different. Flipped it around. I think it was like 52 to 50. I think it was a 50 or a 52-yarder. He missed the first two kicks. It was until the third kick that he hit that he moved back. I mean, but me and you sat, but the ball was on the left hash. Me and you sat there and watched it. Now, you may call us crazy. Like, what are y'all doing?
Well, I remember what I asked you because you and I are watching this. We were, that guy hit from 65, you know. But I was curious as to what do the coaches do with that information? Do they care or they don't care?
They do care.
They do care. That was the question I asked.
Yeah, Sunday. No, they do care. And right. So, here, Peter, coach. Pete Genta goes and watch the other team's defensive backs. It's like, wait, he's a Saints assistant defensive back. But if he can go and watch those other defensive backs, it may be something as simple as them catching the ball. It may be something as simple of them, hey, this guy doesn't catch it clean. You know, this guy, his drop, how he's dropping, going to the left, he may drop a certain way. Going to the right, it's not the same. So you're looking for any little small thing that you can pick up. Some guy may be out there. He may be over doing some hip exercises. Well, he's trying to get his hips a little loose. Okay. Well, that's the same guy that was Judon. Let's say Judon. If we see Judon, that tells me that he still has some issue with his hamstring. So if you're not looking for the smallest edges and details, you're cheating yourself.
So this will be a gut check, right? I mean, this is going to be play with who you get. You got what you got, and who's hurt? It's 60 minutes, and you know it's
How many do you get to dress?
48.
That's who I got. I'm going to try to get the best 48 and go try to win a game. 60
minutes and just, you know.
If you have to gut it out, you have to gut it out. I'll give you Monday off. But you got to figure out a way to find a win.
It's a big one. The 2-1 Saints and the 1-2 Atlanta Falcons. Falcons will stay in the NFC South. The Saints, of course, go to Kansas City for a Monday night affair. It's a big one, of course, as they all are in the NFC South, because the Saints on week 10 play Atlanta again. Then they're done the NFC South until final week of the season. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth, as always, to Deuce McAllister. We will look forward to seeing you and hearing from you on Sunday from Atlanta. Have a great afternoon, everybody. The Brian Kelly show is up next here on WWL, AMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app.